Welcome to the Old Time Radio Westerns. I'm your host, Andrew Rines. This episode is going to be The Lone Ranger. Hope you enjoy, and again, thanks for listening.
Horse with the speed of light, the cloud of dust, and a hearty hi-yo, Silver, the Lone Ranger. With his faithful Indian companion, Tonto, the masked rider of the plains led the fight for law and order in the early western United States. The stories of his strength and courage, his daring and resourcefulness, have come down to us through the generations, and nowhere in the pages of history can one find a greater champion of justice. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. From out of the past come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse, Silver. The Lone Ranger rides again.
Come on, Silver. Let's cover the Twin Pines. El Silver! Hooray!
Martha ran a restaurant in town. The cowhands always were there when they hit town at the end of a three-month stretch on the range. Then one day when the place was practically empty, a dozen hard-faced men came in.
Let me see if I can shoot that oil lamp off the shelf.
Hold on, boys. You can't do that.
Listen, the old woman. Let's show her what we can do.
Who are you? You men aren't cowboys.
That's an insult, speaking of us and cowboys in the same breath. Let's mess up his power.
Kit owned the barber shop. A crowd came in one day.
I don't like that big looking glass. I'm going to smash it.
Wait. Hold on. Listen, Jan.
Help! Help! They're wrecking my shop. The same ones that wrecked Martha's place. Help! Help!
Pete published a small newspaper.
We'll have this on the street in a few minutes now, Jane.
Pete, a stranger just came in.
Yes, I see him. Dressed like a dude. Howdy, stranger. Something I can do for you?
I've been looking this place over, mister. You the owner?
The name is Pete Potter, and you'll see it on the masthead.
Yeah, and you're the man I deal with. Want to talk business?
Go ahead.
Suppose you've heard what happened to the restaurant and the barbershop.
You can read about it in my paper in about 10 minutes.
Oh, is that so? Suppose it's pretty hard to get a printing press like that shipped this far west, huh?
What about it?
You'd have a hard time replacing that if it was smashed, wouldn't you?
Come to the point, stranger.
Yeah, sure I will. I'm selling something. It's a good thing for a businessman to have. It sort of protects you against trouble like some other folks have had.
What are you selling, a new kind of shooting
iron? No. Nothing like that. This is an investment. Here's a contract you sign. Look it over.
What is it, Pete? You look angry about something.
You better go home, Jane.
I'll do no such thing. Who is this man? What's that paper he has there?
As I see it, stranger, this is an agreement that I pay you $50 in cash every week. Then if my place is smashed up like the others, all the damage will be paid for.
Yeah, that's it.
What if I don't sign?
It's up to you.
Well, let's put it another way. If I don't sign, the place is smashed. If I sign, it isn't.
Oh, no, I wouldn't put it that way, Pete. After all, I'm just selling a sort of insurance. Here, that's what it's called, insurance.
Where are you?
Pete!
Now get out of here.
You'll regret that punch more than anything you ever did.
Pete, he's drawing a gun.
No, you don't. Come on in.
Pete, look, there he comes.
Out the back. Jane, the back way. Hurry.
Wreck the place.
Oh, don't hurt them, Pete.
I'll show you.
Let him have it.
I'll show you what you can do.
Jane. Oh, you're conscious again.
What? am.
Home, Pete. In your own bed at home. That's a miracle. It's a wonder you're alive.
What happened? I remember a gang of men. Skinny man. Rat-faced man.
You started fighting them, and they started shooting. You were hit hard in the chest. They were going to finish you. And then two men came in the back door. They each had two guns. Oh, how they fought. They shot the guns away from those killers. And then they dragged you out.
Where did you...
Oh, don't move, Pete. You've got to lie still. The Indian said so.
Indian?
One of the two men. He got the bullet out and dressed your wound.
Were they both Indians?
No. One wore a mask. He was tall and straight, strong looking. I don't know where he came from. Neither does anyone else.
The press. Jane, did they smash the press?
Oh, everything is smashed. The office is a shambles. Worse than Martha's place or Kit's barbershop.
Oh, nothing left to live for.
Pete Potter.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jane. I didn't mean that. Suppose now everyone will have to pay those crooks or have his place smashed up. But why should people have to pay? Where's the law? What about the sheriff?
Oh, he's doing his best. They won't get far. No one will help him.
Why won't anyone help him?
Martha and Kit, the others that saw those fiends had letters. One came for you yesterday. It was a warning letter, Pete. Promising worse things if you helped the law.
Worse things? What more can they do to me? Oh, I savvy. I mean you.
I'll get the letter when you're strong enough to read it.
Get it now. I want to see it.
Oh, Pete, the Indian said you weren't to get excited.
I want to see that letter.
All right, then. But lie quietly while I get it. I'll read it to you. I left it here on the...
Well, where is it? Where is it, Jane? Don't tell me you lost it.
Pete, it isn't here. It's gone.
Oh, Jane, now think. Where'd you put it? What?
This bullet is here in its place. Pete, look. A bullet.
Bullet?
It's made of something like silver.
Silver? A silver bullet. Jane, the man who helped us, has the letter. He took it. He needed it. He's the Lone Ranger.
On the open plains, a masked man urged the snow-white horse to topmost speed as he headed toward a town in the next county.
Come on, Silver!
Sheriff, I want you to look at this letter. Tell me if you ever saw one like it.
I don't need more than a glance to say that it did.
I thought so.
Where'd you get it?
In Twin Pines.
So the same gang has moved over there?
Yes.
Well, this thing is getting big. They're still collecting the cash from here every week. I've done my level best, and I can't do a thing about it.
Have you found out who collects the cash?
No.
None of the victims of this gang will tell you?
No, they won't. And hang it all, I don't blame them. Jeff Guffey told who he paid the cash to, how it was collected. He told one of my deputies.
Oh, what happened?
The deputy was shot. Jeff's house was burned the same night.
Well, Sheriff, I think there's one man who will help us.
Who?
Pete Potter over in Twin Pines. They wrecked his newspaper.
Oh, yeah, so I've heard. And he don't scare easy.
If we can get just one victim of this gang to tell all he knows,
Well, I know Jeb will help all he can. He's the sheriff at the Pines. I'd sure like to see you bust this thing up.
I think with Pete's help, we will.
By the time the Lone Ranger returned to Twin Pines, Pete was out of bed, dressed, and sitting in a chair. He was alone in the house, and after hearing the masked man, said...
You bet I'll help. I'll bring charges against those crooks.
Good.
The only thing I was afraid of was that they might hurt Jane, my wife. But that's taken care of. Tano sneaked her out of town before daybreak. He's taken her to friends where she can stay in hiding for a time.
Then I'll count on you, Pete. If we can get some of the known members of the gang, we might be able to get the men behind them.
If I could only get my hands on the man that's back of this outfit, I'd take the damage to my place out of his hide... Who that is. Neighbors have been dropping in to see how I am.
I'll answer the knock.
Oh, no. Sit still. I can move around, all right.
You want me to leave?
No, not in your life. Stay right where you are.
Well, hello, Potter.
Well, Banker Timmons. Come in. Sit down.
Yes. A masked man.
You bet it's a masked man. It's the masked man. The Lone Ranger.
Incredible. Unbelievable. Lone Ranger.
He's going to help us smash this pack of wolves that are haunting Twin Pines.
Yes, I've heard. I'm proud, sir, to know you. I heard how you saved Pete's life.
In retelling, I guess the story got built up.
You can't appreciate what you did. I heard of the way you shot the guns from the hands of four men. The way the two of you unaided rescued Pete from those fiends. Pete, I came to see how you were.
I'm getting on first rate.
I'd have been here sooner, but I've been busy, terribly busy. These poor shopkeepers. I tell you, I don't know what the world is coming to. I've had to arrange a loan for those whose places were wrecked. Do the same for you too, Pete.
Well, I reckon I'll be able to manage somehow.
How is Jane? I haven't seen her since before the attack.
Jane's all right. She left on a trip.
Oh, has she? Good idea. I'm afraid for you, Pete.
I'm going to fight this thing, Timmons. I'm going to fight it right alongside the Lone Ranger.
You always were a fighter, Pete. Always a fighter, and a good one. A crusader.
Mr. Timmons.
Yes?
Are you paying tribute?
Why do you ask?
Are you?
Well, that is, my bank has not been attacked.
Oh, so you are.
Shucks, I take it for granted you were, Timmons. You always did scare easy.
Sir, I didn't come here to be insulted.
Forget it. No harm, man.
Frankly, I don't see as we have any choice. Everyone has been given a clear understanding of the situation. Do no good to arrest the men who are known to be in the gang.
What would happen if, for example, Slim was arrested?
On what charge?
Any charge. It'd
be practically impossible to prove anything against him. Now, wouldn't it?
Without a witness, it would be.
It would be the witness. Who would care to risk the punishment that would surely follow from the unknown members of the gang? And what of the jury? Would they risk their lives by voting guilty?
Look here, Timmons. We know that Slim is one of them. We know another is named Butch. He's the leader of the wrecking party. Why not arrest him and see what happens? I'll sign the complaint.
That's a matter for you to take up with the sheriff.
Maybe I will take it up with him.
As you wish, Pete, but I wouldn't like to take that chance. I must be getting along. Lots of work to do. Good day.
Bye.
Pete, I think I know a way we can find out who's behind that gang.
How?
Just as you said, have Slim and Butch arrested.
Then I'll get out of here and see the sheriff.
Well, I'll do it, Pete, if you say so, but doggone if it'll do any good. You'll never get a jury to find those polecats guilty. As sheriff, I'm telling you.
I want them arrested. I'll take care of the jury.
Folks are terrible scared of this gang. I know the sheriff at the falls. He told me it was hopeless. Had the same thing there. He couldn't smash it.
Pick up Slim first. He's coming in here now.
Huh?
By Juniper.
I've got something for you, Potter.
For me?
Yeah. A little note a friend of mine brought.
Where is this friend of yours?
He's already left town. Anyway, it's none of your business, mister. While I'm here, I may as well tell you that this place is unhealthy for men with masks. If you're savvy.
All right, coyote. I'd like to...
I wouldn't get too sassy, Sheriff. We're pretty well organized.
Yeah? Well, I was just going to say I'd like to wring your neck, but I can't. All I can do is jail, and I'm doing that right now.
What?
Wait, Sheriff. No.
Pete.
Why, Pete, have you changed your mind?
Yes. The gang is too strong. There's no stopping them. They've got Jane.
Your wife? Are you sure?
I know her writing anywhere. There's notes on the level. They've got her, captured and hid. If I make a move, they'll kill her.
The curtain falls on the first act of our Lone Ranger story. Before the next exciting scenes, please permit us to pause for just a few moments.
Thank you.
Now to continue our story. All the fight and determination went out of Pete Potter when he learned from a note that his wife had fallen into the hands of the mysterious gang of extortionists.
Pete, I don't blame you.
Oh, so now I'm under arrest, huh, Sheriff? What do you want me to do, hold up my hands for handcuffs?
Get out of here. Get out before I really lose my temper.
I wouldn't do anything as careless as that, Sheriff. Remember, I've got friends. You don't know who they are. You don't know who you got to fight, do you, Sheriff?
Licked, huh, Pete?
Oh, I can't risk Jane's life.
Let me see that letter.
Here. They must have captured her just after she and Tonto left town this morning.
Doesn't say anything about Tonto.
No.
Where did they intend to go?
I don't know. They didn't say. Jane was going to get in touch with me by letter. Yeah, but I didn't look for that kind of letter.
Pete, she didn't write all of this letter.
No, someone wrote it for her. She just signed it.
Well, I'm going to ride. I might not be back for a day or so, but don't do anything until I return.
Where are you going?
You'll hear from me later, Pete. Adios.
The masked man rode from town heading north. He rode in a line for several miles, then came to a tree that had been recently cut down. He turned abruptly, following the direction in which the tree had fallen.
That's one of Tunnel's signs, Silver, old boy. Straight line now until we find another.
A pile of rocks, carefully arranged, to mean nothing to a casual observer, but to the masked man they told the story of Tonto's route. He turned again and later found another tree, chopped close to the roots and pointing due east. Finally, at dusk, he came upon a woods, a clearing in the woods, and then a tiny camp.
Tonto! You kind here!
Hello there, Silver. Steady boy. Whoa!
What's going wrong in town?
Where's Jane Potter?
Her go to next town. Stay there with friend.
How long since you've seen her, Kemosabe?
1 hour.
1 hour? Are you sure?
Huh. What matter?
Come on, Tonto. You're riding with me. Back to Twin Pines.
Dawn when the two returned to town. The Lone Ranger went directly to Pete Potter's home, entering the house and going directly to the bedroom. Pete was awake.
Did you sleep at all?
Oh, not very much. Where were you?
Tonto always leaves a trail I can follow. I followed it.
You did?
I talked to Tonto and brought him back with me. Pete, your wife is all right.
Jane? Are you sure?
That letter was a fake.
But it couldn't be. I know Jane's handwriting. I swear it was a signature. Why would she sign it if she didn't have to?
I don't know, but she's all right. I thought I was gone for the sheriff. We're going to finish what we started yesterday. We're going to put Slim into jail. Now, come on.
By mid-morning, the town seethed with excitement. Slim, the member of the gang, had been jailed. And a short time later, word went out that he was dead, murdered so he couldn't talk. Martha was panic-stricken as she talked to Kit, the barber.
After that, I wouldn't so much as open my mouth.
Nor I. They can have all I got, and I won't say a word.
Poor Pete Potter. Now they'll get him for sure.
There's Banker Timmons outside. Let's see if he's heard about it.
Let's.
Mr. Timmons. Mr. Timmons.
Have you heard? That thin member of the gang who was arrested at dawn has been killed.
We heard. How'd they get to kill him?
I don't know. The sheriff himself doesn't know.
No, folks, don't talk about this thing so much.
I'd like to know who's to stop us, Sheriff.
It gives me a bad name to have it noised around that I can't keep a prisoner safe inside the jail.
How'd he die?
I don't know. Maybe poison. There's lots of ways a man can die.
No shooting or knifing?
No.
These people are past masters of crime. Nothing as crude as a knife for them.
Sheriff! What about Butch?
But Pete, have you gone loco? Potter, you should be back in bed.
Well, I'm not in bed. I'm up and waiting for Butch to be arrested.
But haven't you heard about Slim?
Yes, he's dead.
Inside of 3 hours, too.
Do a better job of guarding Butch. Don't let the gang get him like they did Slim.
Pete, you're making a mistake. A big mistake.
No, I'm not. The Lone Ranger says if I don't back my boast, he'll think I'm the ringleader of the gang.
Hey, what's that coming?
The masked man.
And he's got Butch with him.
Oh, Silver, steady, boy, steady. There's another prisoner, Sheriff.
Great day.
Pete, I'm glad you're handy. Swear out the complaint against this crook.
Let me down. I'll kill you for this.
All right. Down you go.
Hey! Why, you...
Take him, Sheriff.
All right, you're under arrest. And the charge is destruction of property.
Ah, you tinhorn, Sheriff.
I've got to tell you that anything you say can be used in court against you. Now, I'll get to your feet and start.
No jury will convict me.
We'll see about that in court. How about you other people? There are 5 in this crowd who can testify against that man. Will any of you step forward?
No, not me.
So, you all afraid of the men higher up, huh?
I've got nothing to say.
Me neither.
Simmons?
I have nothing to say. Why should I have? That man never did any harm to my bag.
Well, I'll make the complaint and identify him as one of the pack of wolves that wrecked my plant. Lock him up.
And don't let the murderer get him.
The what?
Slim was killed, Butch.
Take him away.
Come on. Hey, wait, let me ask a question. This ain't legal.
You can talk and say
it. He must be crazy. It's suicide. The sheriff shouldn't have let him do it. Why, this gang might even punish the sheriff for making these arrests.
Banger Timmons.
What is it, kid?
I want to thank you for making a loan to me so I could repair my barbershop.
Oh, that's all right, kid. Quite all right. I suppose you'll pay these men from now on.
I'll have to, even if it busts me.
Kid, the bank has loaned you money. You can't go broke. You'll have to raise your prices.
Yes, sir.
That goes for you too, Martha.
Yes, Mr. Timmons.
Are you banker?
Hey. Me, yes, I'm the banker. What do you want?
Me talk to you.
See me at my office. I'm going there now.
Me go along.
Is it necessary for you to walk with me? Can't you come later?
Me go now. Make sure me see you.
Very well.
Shortly after banker Timmons walked away with Tonto, Pete Potter rejoined a group of people.
Hey, Martha, I want to speak to you.
To me? What about Pete? It's not safe to be seen being too friendly with you.
Come on, Martha. We've got someplace to go.
I wonder what Pete's going to tell her.
Hey there, Kit.
Oh, Sheriff. Thought you'd gone to jail with your prisoner.
I did, and I'm back. I want to talk to you in my office.
Why should you want to talk to me?
Come on.
This isn't an arrest.
No, not yet, but it can be made one if you don't come willingly.
Several other townsmen were spoken to quietly and escorted to the jail. Timmons was the most surprised when...
But the bank is this way.
But we go this way.
I'll see here in the interview.
You go quiet, huh?
Knife. Why, you barbarian, you...
You walk, huh?
But where?
We go see sheriff. Plenty business to talk.
Slowly, the Indian and the heavy-set banker made their way down the street. Timmons felt a knife in his back and made no move to cry out or resist. He'd been tricked by the Indian. It would be a simple matter to get help if he could just attract attention. The banker was a respected man, and he could have the Indian thrown in jail for threatening him with a knife. But Tonto seemed to sense Timmons' thoughts, and a muttered word was enough to make the banker keep his lips closed. Finally, they reached the sheriff's office.
Well, Banker Timmons, I've been waiting for you. Sit down. I reckon you know the masked man.
Yes. Sheriff, I was brought here by force. That Indian...
While there's just the four of us sitting here in the office, we'll kind of talk things over.
Yes. There's the prisoner.
Butch? Well, I don't figure on having him murdered. He don't want to be murdered either. He's sure a mighty scared man. Fact is, Banker Timmons, Butch figured that the best way to save his neck was to talk. Tell all he could. So as the critters that would likely be trying to kill him could be brought in here before they get the chance.
Why am I here?
Can't you guess?
Yes. I know.
Timmons, you're the leader of the gang.
What?
You started the scheme in another county. You tried it out there, and then you came here.
That's crazy. That's preposterous.
It's the truth, Timmons.
We suspected you when you knew so much about the fight in the printing plant. Now, you weren't there. Jane didn't tell you about it, and you hadn't seen Pete. The only way you could have known the facts was through your henchmen.
But that,
Then you forged that letter, Timmons. As soon as you heard that Pete had sent Jane into hiding, you hurried to your office. Got a copy of her signature from your bank records and copied it to a note. Then you had Slim bring it to Pete.
No, this
There's no true. Use trying to put on an act, Timmons.
As for the gang, in addition to Slim and Butch, they were the men who helped wreck the shops. They were paid by Slim and knew nothing about your part in this.
You seem to know a lot, but you're wrong. You're all wrong. Butch lied to save his own skin.
Butch didn't lie.
He did. He's the one.
What about Slim?
Slim, too. Yes. He was the leader of the gang. Butch must have killed him, Slim.
Has Butch killed anyone else?
Several people.
You have proof of that? Maybe that's why you had a hold on Butch.
Butch and Slim are the real criminals. They made me do what they wanted.
Go on in there, Butch.
Timmons, you lying, double-crossing, pole cat. I heard what you said.
Butch.
Trying to pass the blame on to me, huh?
Shut up.
I won't shut up. Potter kept me throttled so I couldn't yell at you. And then I heard you trying to save your hide by putting all the blame on me. Slim heard it, too. He was gagged. He wasn't dead.
Let the other one in now.
Sheriff, that fat banker can't talk me into hanging.
Slim.
Yeah, you bet it's me. Why, you fool, you fell for the trick.
Trick?
They made Butch think I was dead. Made you think the same. And then you figured that Butch would talk.
I never said a thing.
But Timmons thought you did. So he tried to save his neck by blaming us.
Shut up. The three of you have been accusing each other of being the leaders in this. That's pretty good proof there's no one on the outside running it. Otto, open the door of the inside room.
Me get it.
It's partly opened already so the people could hear what was said.
We heard it all.
I heard, Sheriff. I heard the three of them just as you said I would.
Good.
I'll be a witness against them now. I'm not afraid any longer. They're all here.
And you can count on me.
Well, there you are, Sheriff. There's the witnesses against these crooks.
Yes, there'll be a lot more from the next county when the word spreads.
Timmons, I reckon you started it when you got hungry for the cash the people here have been banking with you. You knew just how much profit they were making, so you knew how much they could pay.
Listen, Sheriff, no matter what else we did, we didn't kill anyone.
Yeah, yeah, Butcher's right, Sheriff.
It'll be up to a judge and jury to tell what happens to you polecat. But take a little advice from me. If you make good all the damage you did, well, maybe the jury will be a little more lenient with you.
And if you bring those crooks you hired to trial, maybe the jury will be still more lenient.
That's right. If you act real helpful and accommodating, by thunder, it wouldn't surprise me that instead of hanging, you'd get off easy. You'd get jailed for life.
Just heard is a copyrighted feature of the Lone Ranger Incorporated.
Welcome back. Hope you enjoyed this episode of OTRWesterns.com. Send me an email, podcast@OTRWesterns.com. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/OTRWesterns. And don't forget to rate this episode in iTunes, OTRWesterns.com/iTunes. This episode is copyright under the attribution, non-commercial, share-alike copyright. For more information, go to otrwesterns.com/copyright. Again, thanks for listening, and I hope you have a good day.